Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The legendary Ice Cube on the hotline right now.
Listen, life-changing. A million things to talk about. The main thing we're going to talk about is Big Three, but man, everything.
Born June 15th in Compton, California, his love of hip-hop in his teens led him to co-founding the pioneering rap group N.W.A. and releasing the album that would be the blueprint for the gangsta rap movement. Straight Outta Compton, he went on to a multi-platinum solo career, as well as an acting career that has found him starring in such iconic films as Boys in the Hood and Friday, as well as such films as Ride Along, Fist Fight, the Jump Street movies, Barber Shop, and many more. And now, he's gearing up for an all-new season of the 3-on-3 basketball league he founded, Big Three. Please welcome the legendary Ice Cube.
Hey Cube, how are you?
Yeah, what's up?
What's going on, man? Great to have you on the show, man. We were talking about everything, your impact on music, getting into movies, the fights you've had to fight, the things you've done, the things you've conquered, man. What a crazy goddamn career.
Man, it's been a roller coaster ride, you know, from about 1986 to now, you know, and it's still going, so... You know, I feel extremely blessed, and you know, I'm just happy to still be here after so many years in the game, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, the idea that N.W.A. comes out, and we worked in record stores, you know, they were threatened to, it didn't happen in Kansas City as much. Yeah. I know in Florida and in some states, they were threatened to arrest people on obscenity charges, and it was frightening, and they were arresting you guys. And it was the thing that drew us all in. We were just talking about was the same reason I loved Kiss or Alice Cooper or something that was scary or punk rock. I was like, listen to this. You know, I can't identify with all the message from a kid from Olathe, Kansas, but I can tell when people are getting offended, and that drew everybody in.
Yeah, you know, it was, you know, you find yourself trying to, I mean, we're from the West Coast, so you just got to, you know, make it in rap. Because it was such a East Coast, New York-driven industry. So, you know, we fight to be heard, and then we have the government and Tipper Gore, which was Al PMRC. Gore's wife. She had the PMRC, Parents Music Resources, some kind of control. But anyway, it was like they was coming after us. You had people like Luke from the 2 Live Crew.
Yep.
You know, going to jail, fighting, you know, First Amendment, you know, stuff. So we was battling on all fronts. And but we was having fun, you know. It was like we're young, 18, 19, and we having the time of our life in the middle of this tornado,
we were talking about how YouTube, you know, to get signed is impossible. To break a new art form, next to impossible, it never happens. Then you have to fight your way through the music industry, which are nothing but terrible human beings. But you do. And you go through that. And then you somehow, man, I don't know how one person, and this I'm just swinging from your nuts on this, has this much talent. I've seen you get into movies, become an incredible actor, become loved by across the board, no boundaries at all. Then after you fight your way through the music industry, all the governments, all of that, and then you go into Hollywood, all the success you had with the movies, then you jump into the third worst place, which is professional sports, another cutthroat business, man. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's God's been with me. I got to say that. And I think when you start off with respect, you come in with the right attitude and you put in the right amount of work. Like, I've always respected the music business. And when I got into it, I wasn't going to cheat it. I respected the movie business because I actually thought that I was not qualified to be an actor because I didn't go to Juilliard.
Right.
Or I didn't go to one of these schools. So when they said, okay, we want you to star in this movie, man, I started to study the industry and try to understand what it took to be good and why do some people suck. And just paid the utmost respect to the industry, and I ended up doing the right things to get me to this level, which is sports. And once again, I respect sports. I respect the players. I respect the people that put the game on. But I want to change it. I want to come in and put my own twist on it. So the Big Three is the perfect opportunity.
Yeah, no, it's so we all know 3-on-3, but this is a different kind of 3-on-3. It's a lot more aggressive. Fireball 3-on-3.
Yeah, we took it to the pro level. We've all played it in our backyards, driveways, schoolyards, but it's never been elevated to the professional level where we see top-notch basketball players playing 3-on-3 for money and for fame and glory and to win a ring. And so, to be able to be in this position to elevate it and to take the basketball serious, but to have fun with everything else, because we have trash talking and we have a loose atmosphere, a lot looser than the NBA, but the games are taken extremely serious. So sure. That combination is just a fun time. We was in Kansas City in 2019. It was great.
Yeah. No, and listen, now after this last year, we get back to doing stuff, man. The CDC gave us that great news yesterday that we can start having people together again, and it's man, you've haven't been able to do it either. There's no touring, there's no sports, there's nothing, and I never realized how much I mean I've always loved music since I was a kid more than anything, but man, it never was more apparent than last year, that terrible feeling of not being able to get together with others and enjoy something like that.
Man, you take it for granted until it's gone.
Sure.
And those you want to do it because it feels so good to get in a arena or a theater or whatever, or, and just kind of all be on the same page, all watching the same movie or the same performer, all catching the same vibes. And when it's taken away, you realize how much you miss it because it gives you a lot of energy, it gives you another boost. Whenever you have one of those events, you feel alive. So, We can't wait to get back to it. We can't wait to get our fans back in the house. And we can't wait to travel the country again. Right now, this year we're going to be in Vegas, New Orleans. Our championship is going to be in the Bahamas, which is cool. But for the most part, we're in three cities. But in 2019, we went to 18 cities. So I can't wait till we get back to that, where we can travel the whole country.
And just huge compliments to your son. He did such an incredible job in Straight Outta Compton, which was just what a magnificent piece of history, man. Perfectly done. There was nothing about it. I was like, these are all the stories I heard, all the whispers, all the interviews, all the little parts and pieces you heard about NWA laid out in a real timeline. And it was incredible.
Thank you. Super proud of him as a family, just being able to step up. And then super proud of the movie because, a lot of, when we went to go shop Straight out of Compton, a lot of people were saying, a rap movie, I don't know. But we were like, no, this is not just a rap movie. This is a movie about friendship. This is a movie about rags to riches.
Yes.
David versus Goliath, breakup to makeup. It's all that, So it was a story about people and not just about a group. And that's the reason why the movie played so well.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. If you just wanted to show the great Ice Cube, they're already giving me the rap cube, but man, anytime. I'm just a huge fan of everything that you've done, and I literally look down the list and I go, there's nothing here that I didn't enjoy. Like, not one thing that you've done I haven't enjoyed, man.
I appreciate that, man. Much love to you and everybody out there in KC. Can't wait to make it back there. And God bless, man.
I see you
at the top.
I see you. Think about this. He's 51.
He's young.
Where he came from, what, and just to lay it out, for, and not to pull the curtain too far back, but it really is, it's an impossible game he's played. He came from a place with no chance to start up. He did, and he started something new. Gangster rap didn't exist. So it was a new genre. Then the world was like, oh, no, you don't. And so they, but that gave him the power to steam forward. Then the band, you know, NWA only did, what, two? He was out after that.
Yeah, it was only like two or three years.
Because he went solo.
Most.
Yeah.
And they started, it's just like Straight Outta Compton, they started doing shows at like roller rinks, whatever.
Yeah.
And the next thing you knew, it was stadium shows.
Right.
Like, ridiculous.
So people are getting arrested. Bands are being torn apart. Eazy-E and him. Eazy-E, AIDS was new.
Mm-hmm.
And in the hyper-masculine world of gangster rap, he gets the gay disease. And that's what it was felt like in the 80s, right?
Right.
And so it's just so much against the odds. And Drake, you know how he's gone on.
Oh, yeah.
So you take these guys. What are the odds of such talented human beings being put in that position? And some don't make it. Some do. But when they do, it gets even bigger. Then he gets into the movies. Think about that idea. And we're not even talking about a solo career. He creates those iconic movies that every kid in America wants to watch. Fridays, mm-hmm. with Witherspoon.
Oh, yeah.
Winky Dinky Hoe Cakes, a million catchphrases. Now you're a second phase of your cultural iconism.
Yeah, Barbershop. Like, I mean, tons of great.
Yeah, Barbershop. Yeah. Exactly right. Then, I mean, gets pretty blockbuster, like Anaconda and I.
Yeah, Are We There Yet? It was like a giant kids movie.
But Boys in the Hood and Higher Learning, which were movies that were very similar to his earlier trajectory, right?
Mm.
So then, after he gets through that, the guy's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What are the odds of that? And then you jump into sports, another awful cutthroat bunch of monsters trying to crush you because you're taking tickets out of their ticket sales. Even though it's not the NBA, you think those guys haven't made moves to crush it?
Oh.
Dude, nobody, everybody on top wants to crush the old phrase is smother the baby in the crib.
Oh, yeah.
Before it gets big, take it away.
Well, I talked to him for a second before I put him on the air. The other part of it, too, is just the longevity of how, like, I mean, that was in the heyday of me, like coming up through high school with NWA and his solo career and whatever. But the longevity.
America's Most Wanted,
last night, I was in the living room doing some work. Jackson had got home from his baseball game and he saw the picture of Ice Cube. And he's like, "You got Ice Cube on tomorrow?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And like without pausing, he goes, "Tell him No Vaseline's the best diss track of all time." And walks out of the room like it was just something natural you'd say. But I'm like, the longevity
it's
of
great,
like,
man. Yes.
Like it's been for, they created a genre and it's been here forever.
Dude, if he'd have just been able to do the one CB4 as much, I've watched that movie 27 times. It's because it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
It's that he created it and then he did the comedy parody of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the Spinal Tap of rap music.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, how in the hell do you become an actor like that?
Well, like when he said,
I wish
somebody asked you if you want to be in a movie. He's like, I didn't go to Juilliard. I don't know how to do this. He hunkered down. He said he put his head to it. And that's what it seems like with him. He's
The trick is you don't have to. If you're a real human being, you can do it.
Is that right?
You just
learned. That's the trick. Like,
because I've never acted. I'm like, man, how would you just
have to
the big game of pretend? You just go, we're just going to play pretend today, and you just pretend it in.
No matter what they tell you from De Niro to whatever, it's a big game of pretend, and you have to be a human being.
Yep.
You have to be able to find, like, good for him that he started with things like Boys in the Hood, you know, stuff
he
would know.
He had a lot of emotions to draw from.
Yeah, and then the key is after that, like, you just got to be a human being.
Only would someone would make a white trash middle of the road movie. I could be a superstar.
Somebody can hand one of us a Joe Dirt. We'd have a chance.
Where's
my Joe Dirt?
If someone would have told me about the auditions for Joe Dirt,
either of us,
I could have been in that goddamn movie. Spade doesn't know white trash. I know white trash.
This is the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
The Johnny Dare Morning Show.
On 98.9 The Rock.